Well, this morning, we are going to hear about the story of Ignatius. Ignatius of Antioch. And one thing we know for certain about Ignatius is that he was the disciple of one of the apostles, the Apostle John. The Apostle John, more than likely, maybe even baptized Ignatius. And so Ignatius was early on in the time period of the church. And he was a disciple of the Apostle John. Do you remember when Jesus told his disciples, after his death and resurrection, he was going to ascend. And he says, it is your job to go unto the nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, the disciples and the apostles certainly listened to Jesus. The disciples and apostles went all over the known world. Some of them went north up to what's called Antioch, near modern-day Syria and Turkey. Some of them went into what is today known as Turkey. Others went further into Greece and all the way to Rome. Some went down south into Africa, Ethiopia, Egypt, Tunisia. Some went further east all the way into India. And so early on, the disciples and apostles were taking the gospel all the way out to the known world, and it was spreading. And Ignatius was part of that. Ignatius was made bishop by the Apostle John over Antioch to be the leader, the next leader over Antioch. And he was bishop for 40 years, the leader of the church in Antioch, which in today, Antioch would be right by the border of Syria and Turkey. Unfortunately, right where all that the massive earthquakes recently happened. That's where he was from. That's where he served. Now, he served a long time as the leader of the church in this area. And it is said that not only was he the disciple of the Apostle John, but do you remember the story? Whenever the disciples were bickering over who was the greatest. You know, one disciple was saying, I'm the greatest, right? I have the most faith. I have the most courage. And the other one was saying, no, look at my acts. Look what I've done. Certainly, I'm the greatest, and in the kingdom of God, it'll be revealed as such, that I will be the greatest. And they go to Jesus, Jesus, which one of us is the greatest? What do you think, Jesus? And Jesus picks up a little kid, and says, the greatest of those in the kingdom of God will be like this little child. That's who the greatest is. Not you fools trying to compete about who's the greatest and who has the most power and most faith and ability, but one like this little child. Now it is said, we don't know for certain, but it is said that that child that Jesus picked up was Ignatius himself as a little kid. Now, that's what it said. We don't know for certain, but it's quite a good story because certainly that little kid grows up and continues in a childlike faith, incredible faith. Now, when he was older, much older, there was a time in the Roman Empire when, lo and behold, there's another emperor who felt very threatened by the growth of Christianity. He felt like it was a little fire that was started in his empire. And he needed to squash that fire and put it out. And so he put out an edict. This emperor put out an edict saying, no one can worship any other gods than the Roman gods. And you must confess to Caesar as the supreme lord. Now, Ignatius heard that and said, no way. And so he told all the churches that no Christian should confess Caesar as Lord. No Christian ought to bow the knee to any Roman god or make any sacrifices to Roman gods, for we are to worship the living God and him alone. And so he was leading the church courageously against this edict of the Roman emperor. Now, do you think the Roman emperor appreciated that?
No!
No. The Roman emperor heard about Ignatius and his leadership of the church in Antioch. And he said, I'm going to send some of my soldiers, my personal soldiers down there, to make a scene, to show all these Christians that if you do, as Ignatius of Antioch is doing and saying, then you are going to be punished. So he sent troops all the way down to Antioch to arrest Ignatius. Sure enough, that's what they did, all in front of the whole church. And Ignatius said, I don't mind. And then the soldiers said, you use Roman coins. And guess whose picture is on that Roman coin? The emperor himself. See, you use his good gifts. Why not just go ahead and say he's Lord as well? And he says, fine, you can take my coins. I don't need his image. I don't need his leadership. I am certainly not going to bow the knee and call Caesar Lord of all. For that is Jesus and Jesus alone. And so they bound him, arrest him, and the emperor himself wants to have him in his sight in Rome. And so they take a long journey all the way to Rome. Again, they're in Antioch, which is again Syria, Turkey area. They have to travel all the way through modern-day Turkey, all the way into Greece, and then take a ship to get to Rome. Now, on this long journey, as Ignatius is arrested, and they're taking him to Rome, they have to make many stops, right? And as they make many stops, word gets out among the churches that the great Bishop Ignatius has been arrested. And so Christians come and see him. As they're journeying through Turkey, Christians come and see him. And he writes them letters. And he ends up writing not just one letter, not just two letters, not just three, not just four, nor five, nor six, but seven. Seven letters he writes to all the various churches on his way to Rome. And these letters, for the most part, still exist today. Wow. And he's writing right around the time in which the Apostle Paul and others are coming to be, and the New Testament itself is being written. And so these letters go to the churches and are read across the known Christian world at this time, encouraging Christians to press on, to persevere, to be courageous in faith, to not fear the threats of the emperor or anyone else, but to fear God alone. And so as the emperor himself wanted to put out this fire of Christians that had been started, as he sought to try to push out that fire, lo and behold, the emperor himself, to bring Ignatius to Rome, starts a wildfire of faith in Christ throughout the churches. And so Ignatius ends up in Rome. And even in Rome, there's a lot of Christians there now. And even in Rome, the Christians come to Ignatius and say, Ignatius, let us get you out. We have ways. We can get you out. We can get your freedom. You could serve the church in Rome for a really long time. And Ignatius says, no, I don't want to sneak out. But pray for me. Pray that I would be faithful to the end. That's what he wanted the church to do. Not to enable him to escape, but to enable him to be faithful all the way until the end. And sure enough, he needed the prayers of the church, because the emperor wanted to make a fool of him. And the emperor wanted to end his life. And so the way he did it, you know, the gladiator scenes, you know, the Colosseums that Rome had, and part of their kind of opulence, enjoyment, entertainment was watching gladiators fight it out, and even among wild animals. And so they threw Ignatius into the arena where the gladiators and wild animals were with, and they even, the story goes, they even gave him some weapons, but he wasn't going to use them. And sure enough, he was put to death in the arena by the gladiators and the wild animals. Now, though, do you think that stopped the church from reading his letters and from continuing on in faith, bowing the knee to Jesus as Lord, as the only Lord of God? Do you think that stopped them?
No!
No! It just empowered them all the more. Ignatius was known for saying, we are not, because the term Christian was just now getting out. And Christians now all over, from Africa to the Middle East to Europe, were calling themselves by the name Christian. And this was kind of newer. So they weren't just Egyptian, or they weren't just from Jerusalem. They weren't just Jews or Gentiles. They were Christians. They belonged to Christ. And he said, it is not enough to merely call ourselves Christian, but to be Christian. To be Christian with all of our deeds. You think Ignatius showed what that looked like?
Yes.
He did. So I wonder how we might show the courage that Ignatius shows before Caesar, before any other threats. Thankfully, we don't have that kind of threat over us. But no doubt, you and I have plenty of opportunities to show courage in our faith towards Christ and towards one another. Do you think we can do that today?
Yeah.